stare at an indefinite point on the wall, lost in thought about the decision which now awaited him. It was time to make his mind up, he said to himself. He couldn't go on like this. As much as he was attracted to his wife, this situation was intolerable for a man in his position. He had to divorce her, as he had done with his two previous wives, Clodia Pulchra, the daughter of a woman who became his implacable enemy, and stepdaughter of a man who, sooner or later, he would have to face, and Scribonia, an intolerable matron with links to Sextus Pompey, of whom he had managed to rid himself when he had cut short his alliance with that accursed pirate. Scribonia had at least given him a daughter, Julia, whom he would be able to use in the future to create an alliance through marriage. Despite being only 2 years old, she was already betrothed to Antyllus, Mark Antony's son. A betrothal he knew very well, which was destined to be broken off just as soon as his fragile alliance with the other triumvir was. By the looks of things, though, Livia was not going to be bearing him any children, and he had no idea what to do with Tiberius and Drusus, the two sons she had from her previous marriage. A man in his position, the supreme leader of Rome, destined to found an empire, had to have sons. Descendants who would continue his work as he had continued along the path staked out by his adoptive father, Julius Caesar. A single lifetime was not enough to make a state powerful and efficient, and Octavian must be certain that his successor would consolidate what he had built rather than destroy it. But above all, he had to be certain that whoever inherited his empire would continue his work in his name, practicing his teachings and adopting his beliefs. It would be like cheating death and reigning forever. For this reason, and for this reason alone, the marriage to Livia wasn't working, and he would soon have to free himself from her. In every other regard, she was a wonderful woman, and even after 3 years of marriage, the qualities which had led him to choose her as a wife, and even have her become a member of the sect of Mars Ultor, were still evident. She was intelligent, discreet, beautiful, witty, and in spite of everything, she could give him pleasure like no other woman had done before. So talented was she that she never made him regret not having completed the act. And if he was sorry that he couldn't possess her fully, it was mainly because it meant that they would not be able to have children. Yet before they had married, when they were still lovers, everything had gone smoothly. They had performed acrobatics that wouldn't have been out of place in a brothel without ever having any problems, and Octavian had begun an exhilarating double life in the bedroom. Even when Livia was pregnant with Drusus, the second son of Tiberius Claudius Nero, they had continued to enjoy one another in every way possible. Drusus was born only 3 months after her marriage to Octavian, eliciting ironic comments from people about how only the most fortunate couples were able to have children in 3 months. For Livia, it had been a traumatic birth, and she had asked her husband to refrain from relations until she had fully recovered. This hadn't been a problem for Octavian. At that time, he had been engaged in the war against Sextus Pompey, the hardest he had yet undertaken, and he had spent little time in Rome, and never more than a fleeting night with his consort. In addition, the young triumvir returned from these expeditions against that cur Pompey, feeling so low in spirits that he didn't actually feel much desire to exercise his marital duties. What with the defeats, naval disasters, conspiracies, and betrayals, he had even reached the point of contemplating the idea of suicide. And if it had not been for his trusted bodyguard, Ortwin, he would never have had the chance to emerge victorious from that long conflict, during which he had also taken the opportunity to rid himself of the third triumvir, Lepidus, by removing his possessions and official titles and relegating him to the position of Pontifex Maximus. When the war against Pompey had ended, and peace had returned to Rome, however, and the Senate had voted him sacrosanctitas, and awarded him a triumph, Octavian had expected everything to return to normal.